going to start tonight by just reading a little article. And this article, I usually would print this out to read it, but it's on my phone. This article is about my mum. And if you weren't here this morning, you probably didn't hear, you know, about me. But this will give you some idea of my background. And those that were here, this will give you another layer to my mum and to my family. A young bride sits on the side of her bed in the farmhouse she grew up in. It is a sticky, humid Queensland day in the 1952, and a slight breeze is blowing through the window. She has just put on her white laced wedding dress, lovingly sewn and carefully stitched by herself. Short-sleeved with scalloped edging, hand-embroidered flowers around the neckline, and a veil trimmed in lace. She carefully picks up the hem of her dress to place on her wedding shoes on her feet and laces them up. Like most brides, her shoes have been carefully chosen with specific care and attention to detail. But they don't look as you would expect, high-heeled and glittery. They've been chosen with a dual purpose in mind. They are simple white tennis shoes. Practical in every way, but mighty in purpose. A little like the young woman that is now placing them on her feet, Grace Westbrook. They will not only be worn on that special day, her wedding day, but will take her on a grand adventure. Today, she steps out in them, excited and a little nervous, taking the hand of her groom and entering a new world of marriage and an adventure that will go beyond what she can ever imagine. After a one-day honeymoon in a tent on the beach of Noosa, she will again place these white tennis shoes on her feet to step on board a ship that will take her across the Pacific Ocean, to a land that is steeped in darkness and despair. Then over the weeks ahead, they will walk on jungle tracks in search of villages where cannibalism is still practiced and spears are the main means of communication, to share with the people in the nation of Papua New Guinea the good news of a saviour who loves them and died for them. These tennis shoes will stand in front of little dark, curly-headed children under a thatch roof hut and teach them to read and write and share with them the Bible stories. They will be placed on her feet as she sits in an armchair her husband has made from jungle timber, and they will tread on a floor of rounded palm trunks with cracks so large you can see the ground underneath where cockroaches and rats scurry about. Tears will splash on them as she remembers loved ones she's left behind and has to contemplate giving birth for the very first time in a strange hospital without her mum present or a husband by her side. These white tennis shoes represent many hours, many days, and many years of sacrifice and surrender. She has a great love for her husband. Everyone could see it glowing from her on her wedding day. But her greatest passion was to see others come to know and love her master and her saviour. To share with whoever would listen what God had done for her and could do for them. The desire and passion has not waned in the years that have followed, but still burn within her. As she prays with people in her nursing home and shares the love of God with them, at the age of 85. My mum had simple, plain tennis shoes on her feet, but they helped her fulfill her destiny. The verse in Romans 10, which was a favourite of my mum's, has challenged and motivated me to take the step of faith and be all I can be for him. It says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they have not heard? And how can they hear without our nitchiches too, Pastor Pauline? And I didn't think I'd cry this much over this, but it's obviously touching my heart today. Super, okay, how can they believe? Thank you. How can they believe? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those in white tennis shoes who brings the good news. My heart stirs every time I read these words. What do you and I have in our hands or on our feet today? What sacrifice are we willing to make? What passion stirs within your spirit? What purpose draws you to greater adventures for God? Will you surrender all to Him? Take a look at your feet. They might not look much. You may be wearing steel cap boots today, as the road has been quite tough. You had to kick a few problems out of the way. You may have dirt and blisters all over them from the journey you have just had to walk through. You may be wearing heels because it is a time to rejoice and there has been breakthrough. But whatever shoes you have on today, don't be too concerned about the sacrifice it has taken you to get where you are. If you look at the end result, if you keep your eyes on the fact that it is good news that we are sharing, then the sore feet don't matter much. The beauty isn't how the feet look, but the surrender of the feet and the news that they bring. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. That was my mum. She's in a nursing home and now she doesn't know anyone. But she still knows that there's a Saviour. And she still has within her heart and her spirit a love for God. And I want to give you a glimpse of Him today. Wait a minute. I'll do a Pastor Pauline. You don't sponge your makeup. Okay. I want to show you the Master Gardener tonight. The one that my mum loved so much, she was willing to sacrifice everything. So get a picture in your mind, if you will, for a moment. You're walking in a garden. It's a little shabby, quirky, not perfect, but beautiful in its own way. A light breeze is blowing. Just in the background somewhere, a stream can be heard trickling over some rocks. The sun is slowly going down in the sky and it will soon be dark. But in the moment between day and night, a stillness descends on that garden. And in the distance, you see someone walking towards you. You're not scared. He is familiar to you. As he draws closer, you see that he has a shovel over his shoulder and a bucket full of weeds in his hands. He's been working in the garden. He's humming softly to himself, and an indescribable joy bubbles up within you, and an inner peace washes over your spirit. It's the Master Gardener, and he's come to walk with you. An old hymn goes like this: and he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. This is the joy that we have when we walk with the gardener. This is our God. Our God. There is no one like him. No one more gracious, kind, loving. No one I would rather go with. And no one I would rather have with me in my corner. He knows exactly how to care for my life. He is my provider, my miracle worker, my way maker. He makes a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. He sustains me and protects me. He is the one I can run to in trouble, and he lights my path in the darkness of despair and disappointment. He holds me and shelters me under his wings when grief grips me and tries to pull me down. He is my rock and my fortress, my courage when fear tries to grip my heart. He gives me hope when all seems hopeless around me. He is my anchor in life's storms. And yes, he is the God who stays. He is not going anywhere. He stays. Tonight, I want to give you a glimpse of this gardener and the loving relationship that you can have with him. I think the most amazing and wonderful thing about our life's journey and being able to create this beautiful garden that we learned about this afternoon is that we do not do it alone. We do not do it alone. If you don't know, remember anything else, you do not walk this life alone. Why do we have so much suicide? They do not know that there's a gardener. They could take their hand. They don't have to do it alone. And sometimes we just got to be there to tell them that they don't have to do it alone. You and I cannot thrive in our own strength. We must have the master gardener, a wonderful God that will walk with us every step of the way. We read part of this scripture this afternoon. I want to read it to you again. It sums up how beautiful God is and what he thinks about us. Every single moment he is thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider. That you, God, cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desire towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. This is the type of relationship right there that every girl in the whole world yearns for. That type of relationship. And this is what God wants to give to us. We are cherished. We are in his every thought. Wow. And double wow. Like, get that into you. That's going to take you somewhere. The creator of the universe is thinking about you and me constantly. But not just that. He's thinking good thoughts. He's not thinking, oh, Lorish, you messed up there again today. Like, can't you get that through your thick head? No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't. He says here, cherishes me constantly in his thought. Isn't that nice? You know, that's so good. And this is a relationship that we can have with our Heavenly Father. It is so reassuring to know that we have a very skilled gardener who wants to lovingly, he doesn't slap us about. He wants to lovingly encourage us. Like Pastor Kylie was talking about, she went into that room and he lovingly showed her what it was and how she could become whole. That's our God. We need to take him up on his offer of this relationship. And we need to take his hand, like that old hymn says, and begin to walk with him. It's an everyday walk with him. When building a relationship, you need to get to know the person. It takes time. You don't just instantly know someone when you see them. It takes giving of ourselves. It requires sacrifice. A relationship just doesn't happen. It's a process, a journey. And the one we take with God is so precious and amazing. Beyond words, a journey that you and I do not want to miss. He wants us to dwell with him, to live with him, yes, and stay with him. That's the God who stays. But you know, as I mentioned with some people with suicide and that, but even you and I, the sad thing is that often we try and do it alone. I fall into this trap all the time. I think I can do it. Like I'm this perfect person, I can do this. But we can't. It requires this relationship. We often leave him behind and we don't ask him for help. Pastor Pauline was saying how she loves Proverbs. Here's another one for you, Pastor Pauline. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions, because we all have opinions, especially we see them all on Facebook, don't we? Everyone's got an opinion, and some have got two or three opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore Him with undivided devotion. And avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit longs for. God longs for us to have this amazing relationship, to trust and rely on Him. Excuse me. But as I said, often we leave Him behind, trying to do it on our own. But what's the use of having a gardener if you don't use him? You know? If we try to work out our problems out in our own strength, it's a bit like the old song, I did it my way, and said it with such pride. But that should be terrible if we're standing saying, I did it my way. It's wrong. We need Him. It's a bit like God's given us this amazing gift, and it's a bit like us going as cooks or whatever at home, going, we've got an electric Mixmaster or Thermomix, if you can so hope to have a Thermomix, and we're not using it. It's sitting on the bench and we're not using it. Instead, we're doing everything by hand. It seems stupid. Or having a fully automatic washing machine and we're taking it down the beach and scrubbing it on the sand. Like, you wouldn't do that. But we do that so often with our God. We leave Him. We forget Him. But He's not going to come and push you and say, hey, I'm here. He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. And He's just going to kindly lead you. And He wants you to ask. My mum used to always say, don't be scared to ask for help. But often we are. And I forget this sometimes. I have learnt the hard way that I can't do everything in my own strength. Believe me, I have tried. Tried to be the perfect person or woman or whatever. But I have fallen down in a heap. I've ended up burnt out and empty. Sometimes even now I fall into this trap again. And I have to remind myself again to trust Him and not myself. It says in the verse we just read, we need to rely on Him. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. With all your heart. Place your heart fully in His care. He's not going to break it. Why don't you just place your hand over your heart right now? I don't know. Is my heart there? I don't know. Anyway, we're done with that side. And just say, God, I give you all my heart. God, I give you all my heart. And you know, sometimes it takes repeating that 500 times in a day because we keep forgetting. We keep forgetting. We think maybe He won't like what I've done. So we hold back some of it because we think He won't like that bit. Believe me when I say this, there is nothing you've done, said, could have done, didn't do that He doesn't know about. And yet, what did the Word of God say back here? He cherishes me constantly in His every thought. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, the Word of God says. Tell Him everything. May He be your closest confidant. This is the only way you are going to have that intimate relationship that you need. Share your burdens and your joys. Don't forget to tell Him your joys too. Often we go to Him and all He hears is the bad things. He wants to hear about the nice things that happened in your day too. Give Him all your heart. Don't hold back bits of you. Don't just share the nice part of your garden with Him. In close relationships, like with husband and wife, like with my husband, if we hold back things, it actually becomes unstable and we actually get feelings of insecurity, doubt and distrust. Giving Him all, placing your hand fully in His, is the only way to go, because it's then that you find that security, that hope, and that trust that you're actually looking for. Even if I'm holding a good secret, like a surprise party for him or something, there's always that little, what's going on with her? Like, I better not say anything because then I'm going to wreck the whole surprise. And there's that insecurity, that instability. But as soon as we're open and honest, like we're talking about this afternoon, and just tell him everything, that actually we think that there's going to be, he's going to walk away, there's going to be less security, but actually creates more security. It actually creates stability in our lives. One of my favorite guys in the Bible is Enoch. And I love Enoch because he knew how to walk with God. You know, there's only a few verses in the Bible about Enoch, but every one of them tells you how that he walked with God. Enoch knew what it was like to give his whole heart, his whole life was given to God. Enoch knew the amazing oneness of having a relationship with God. He didn't just walk with God on Sundays and forget about him during the week. He didn't just say a prayer in the morning, I've done my duty, I did my little prayer, and then for the rest of the day, forget about God, I've done that. I did my little devotions and I went off to work and work just hit me. And I forgot to even say, hey God, actually, I need a bit of help today, or walk through that with him, just constantly with him. But Enoch, his relationship was one of giving his all. Listen to these verses in Genesis 5:22. Enoch walked in habitual fellowship, or another version says steadily, with God 300 years after the birth of Methuselah, and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And in reverent fear and obedience, Enoch walked with God. And he was not found among men, because God took him away to be home with him. How awesome is that? To have that fellowship, Enoch walked steadily, just day by day, by day, by day, by day, by day, by day. Habitually. It has to become a habit. We all have bad habits. I have bad habits. Eating the wrong food, bad habits. But we need to get good habits. Habitually walking, walking, walking. It must have just been natural to him in the end. It's just like, this is who he was. Can you picture, I picture things in my brain. Sometimes they're way off. But I'm just picturing Enoch. And I don't know, he may have lived in a tent. He had his mat on the floor. But he's waking up in the morning. He's not quite awake. You know how we're like, a bit groggy. But even in that part of the day, he's going, oh, God. So good to see you again this morning, God. I wonder what you got done while I was asleep. You know, you were somewhere doing something. I don't know. But God, what do you think we'll do today? You know, and he puts his feet up and throws a blanket off and he's going, hey, how about I go and see old Methuselah today, my son, and see what he's up to. God, would you like to do that with me today? I go talk to him. And, you know, and just every day. And, oh, God, you know, the other day I was walking around and I saw one of those giraffes. You know, the one you created with the long neck and all those spots? Oh, God, I had a laugh. What were you thinking? Like, this is the conversation that he was having every day, every day, every day with his father. For Enoch, it was a natural ebb and flow, continually walking and talking with God, getting to know his heart and living a life of righteousness in a habitual fellowship in obedience and reverence fear. A very close, intimate relationship. Listen to this. Intimacy always leads to inheritance. Think about it. Your intimacy with your husband leads to having children as your inheritance. Intimacy with God will always lead to an inheritance with him. He will never leave you barren in your spirit. He never leaves us barren in our spirit. Because of this, because of Enoch's intimacy with God, Enoch left behind a legacy. Noah was Enoch's great-great-grandson. So Noah just didn't one day decide, I'm going to love God. No, no, no. He learned it from Enoch, from Methuselah, his great-grandfather, and from his Lamech, I think it was, and it was passed down because one man decided that he was going to walk with God. Walk with God. The words in that verse that we read in Proverbs says, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Intimacy leads you into whatever and wherever. Can any of you remember? Some of you might not been there yet, but can any of you remember when you first fell in love? I do. And I was like just head over heels. And David ring up and he'd say, hey, how about we go down the beach and go swimming today? And I was there, whatever you want to do. And when we first got married, say, how about we go out bush and become youth pastors and I'd get paid a cent? And I go, yeah, whatever, wherever you want to go. And this is what our Heavenly Father wants as we walk in his intimacy. It's like, whatever, God, wherever, tell me today, and I am there. I began this journey of intimacy with God at a young age of 8. Now, you heard me tell a little bit of my story this morning and how at the age of 7, me and 2 of my brothers were dropped at a hostel, a Christian hostel, on a mission station to live with people we did not know and with children we did not know. So around about the age of 8, I was at the mission station this day, and I don't know, your brothers might have been different to mine, but I really didn't have a lot to do with my brothers, even though they were right there. They were boys. They're not like huggy, touchy-feely people. I didn't have a sister to wrap her arms around me and tell me how precious I was, or it's okay, you know. And so I'm about 8. I've just got this thing that, and I think I need to say it, so I'll say it. And I was a bedwetter. So probably from all the stress, but back then, who knew? Okay, so living in this hostel and wetting my bed, it was my job to pull those blankets off, pull those sheets off, take them down to the wash. I didn't have to wash them. They had girls to do that. But and then make sure that the bed was made again in the afternoon. So that was just another added stress on an 8-year-old. I have a grandson that's 9, and I just can't imagine that now. But, yeah. So anyway, I'm 8 years old, and I am having to learn. They had a lady missionary that was a teacher, and we would go there every day during school time, and she would teach us. And it was probably a group of about 30 kids, and you have the year fives in this table, and the year sixes here, and whatever, you know. And I think it was year 2 or something at the time, and she would have 10 spelling words for our group, and you'd get a week to learn them, and then you had to, and then she'd quiz you, okay? And if you didn't get them right, if you didn't get more than 5 out of 10, you actually got the cuts. That's how strict it was. Anyway, I suffered from dyslexia. Now, they didn't know what that was back in the day. And so I was one day sitting out under a tree. Go cry again. Sitting out under a tree by myself trying to learn my spelling words. I did not have a mother to help me. And learning my spelling words, and I was feeling a bit frustrated and scared because I knew tomorrow there would be a test and I probably wouldn't get 5 out of 10. And I sensed God's presence come in that moment. And that was the first time that I personally felt God's presence. Up until that, my mum and dad had told me about God. I knew about God. I knew that we were here because of God. But it wasn't until then that I began my own personal relationship, my own walking with him. And what a precious moment it was in my young life to actually sense him come and say, Loris, it's going to be okay. I'm here. I'm here. Your mum and dad might be a long way away, but I'm here. And I will be with you. And after tasting just a glimpse of his presence, I never, ever, ever wanted not to know his presence again. I wanted more of that. Because if you just get one glimpse, believe me, you won't want to walk away again. You will want to pursue him with all your heart and your soul and know him better. The love, this intimacy that I found that day has secured me, strengthened me, and been with me through every circumstance and situation in my life. We need to learn to be so close to him, to know his great love for us, that it becomes as natural as breathing. Our hearts are beating with his. I read this recently and it said, if you can't hear his heartbeat, you have moved too far away. Our life needs to be fixed in the intimate love of God. We need to know and realize just how much he loves us. If you could just get a small glimpse of his love, wow, it would impact your life and others around you like never before. Ephesians 3:16 says this, and I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover with what every holy one experiences the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurements that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. Dream big, girls. Dream big, because he is going to go bigger than that. Dream big and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Oh, the great magnitude of his love. How endless beyond measure. It is in allowing this extravagant love to pour into us until we are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God, that we begin to get a glimpse of the wonderful Master Gardener. Can you see him? Has he got a little bit closer to you tonight? Thanks, Musos, if you can come up. It's not good walking alone. I've tried to do it without him. Not a good look. I have this trap that I often fall into. I'm pressing into God. I'm taking time with him every morning. I'm walking with him, talking. Life's good. I feel good. Oh, so I must be able to do this by myself. And so I just, oh, okay, I can do this. This is great. It's good. And so I skip time with him. I even think that I don't need to go to the garden convention anymore. If you don't know what that is, that's church. You know, and I think, oh, I've got it all together. Wow. Then a dry season hits. Summer hits, it's hot in my garden and not a good hot. And if I'm wise, I will realize once again that I need the gardener, that without him I shrivel and I die. Yes, you might look good on the outside and we can put all the makeup we want and put on the trendy clothes and put on the cutest shoes. But if inside it's hurting, if inside we haven't got the master gardener, then our garden will not flourish. The plant can look good on the outside, but it can be dying inside. Today, ladies, you need the gardener. You cannot do it alone. He loves you more than you can ever imagine, beyond your comprehension, and is just waiting to walk with you throughout all of life's journey. Let's just stand. As I said at the beginning, there is no one like our God. No one more gracious, kind, and loving. And I'm going to repeat it again so you get it within your spirit. He is our provider. He has shown this time and again in my life. He is our miracle worker and our way maker, making a way where there seems to be no way. He sustains and protects me and you. He is the one we can run to in trouble, and he lights our path in the darkest of despairs. He holds us and shelters us in his wings when grief would want to pull us down. He is my rock and he is my fortress, our courage when fear tries to grip our heart. He gives us hope when all seems hopeless. He is my anchor in the storm, and he is the God who stays. He is the God who stays. The Master Gardener longs to walk with you today. He longs to be in your company. He chooses to be in your company. He wants to be there today. He yearns for that relationship with you. It's a relationship that will transcend any other one you have ever, ever, ever had in your whole life. He longs for you. And tonight, we want to take time to pray, and the leaders, pastors and that are going to come and pray with you. And if you're longing for that closer relationship with God, I want you to come down the front. God's word says if you draw near to him, he's not going to go, oh, don't want to be with her today. No, he's going to come and be with you today. Maybe you're feeling a little dry in a desert place. Come, drink from the well. Drink from him tonight. You're unsure today. Maybe you've never tasted his great love for you. Come, taste his great love. His arms are open wide. Or you've been trying to do it all yourself. Come, let him be your strength today. So as the musicians play and sing for us, I want you to reach out to him. I want you to get a glimpse of his presence. And believe me, you will start a journey of walking in his presence that will never get boring and will always fresh and renew your spirit. So come. If you want us to pray with you today, if you want to just come and draw closer to God, come. Come into his presence today. Amen.